Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at Four. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and T-Mac.
I was playing around with some suggestions for some sort of fun punishment that we do if you do donate money on our behalf for the Michelob Ultra's Fan Match Challenge powered by CoBank Colorado Open, benefiting the first tee at Green Valley Ranch. So we heard about the fantasy football guy who had to eat, had to stay in a Waffle House for 24 hours. But for every waffle he ate at the Waffle House, an hour would come off the clock. It took him 15 hours to eat 9 waffles.
That sounds just ridiculous. That sounds like you are a weak-minded human being. Like, how is that even possible?
And
you couldn't eat 2 waffles in an hour? You couldn't average 2 waffles per hour.
I don't know how you couldn't eat 24 waffles in 1 hour. Seriously, I don't know how you couldn't just figure that out. Our guy Richie is off to a Waffle House to get a waffle.
Is he gone already?
Well, he's listening, theoretically, or we could call him.
Because somebody just sent in a photo of a delivery service that does deliver Waffle House.
Now we got Carney. We got Door Carney. DoorDash Carney. So Uber Eats Richie.
There you go.
So appreciate it, but Richie's already. Yeah, I think he's already gone.
Got it.
But we'll find out. You know, we said
we probably should have him at least buy like 2 or 3 each, right? I mean, because what's the point of only eating one?
How hungry are you?
Well, I mean, are we trying to figure out whether this is hard or not?
Well, now I'm figuring out you're just hungry.
Well, you're right a little bit.
Yeah. All right. So if you're thinking about donating to a team, just keep in mind, we're willing to do something fun.
We are willing to eat waffles. Yep.
We are.
Yep. If we win, we will take one for the team and we will eat waffles.
Now, if there's a better punishment or something better to do out there, then hey, just, we got a week until this happens.
Hey, give me like a hard food challenge at least.
All right. 303-713-1043. I mean, is there a type of food?
This is a dangerous road to play with you though. Like, I'm not sure food challenge is the right challenge.
Dude, everything with me is a bit about discipline and not eating. To eat, what do you think? That's hard for me?
No, that's what I meant. Like, is it, you know, cracking it open?
Once
you pop, you can't stop type of thing?
Yeah, it's like Tony Soprano did want Christopher back on heroin. You know, he really did. He told him to clean it up, but he kept, like, he wasn't happy with it. Mm. Yeah. No, I've gotten a lot of feedback that people would really just rather have me fat.
I'm getting a lot of feedback on the text line that I'm some terrible human being for trying to get you to eat a donut. Like, Tyler, relax. Like, how dare you try to get him to eat a donut? He's worked so hard to lose all that weight.
Do you
not understand what you're trying to make him do right now?
You don't.
My gosh, am I a bad human being for trying to offer him a donut?
I'll turn this back to the Broncos.
Is that insensitive of me?
Watch this. Somebody said to me, because this whole field day debate was going on, and we'll get to Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock here in a second. They said to me, D-Mac, along your journey to losing all that weight, you must have had a greasy hamburger in there along the way. And I laughed because I really haven't had a greasy hamburger, but I understood what they were saying.
I'm sorry, you've never had a greasy hamburger?
Well, not since I've been doing what I've been doing. No.
Oh, since you've done it.
Of course. I was a greasy hamburger. I didn't do anything but greasy hamburgers. Are you kidding me? And I said, okay, fine, let's take that as a metaphor. Because the answer to that question is, sure, I've had some foods and whatever. I'm not a vegetarian. I had some chicken last night.
Talk about the no fun police taking just a fun little comment. Somebody just making a comment about a greasy hamburger, and you're going to go all deep and serious on it, take it to the next level.
I said I didn't have any of that until I was well on my path. Now, this kind of is like what Orlando was saying. Now, Nate just shot it down, and you've shot it down, too. And I'm not even talking about field day, but it's about a winning culture and what you deserve and the tone that you're setting. So if this is a diet metaphor, I made unbelievable sacrifices until I got to a certain point. And then at that certain point, other things started casually, not all the time, but coming back in every now and then. If the Broncos were on a diet, if they're on a journey, where would they be right now? Who are they? And that goes to the culture. Where are they?
Okay.
What is established and what's not, and what's fair and a reward for teams that have done well compared to teams that are struggling?
So, have you ever heard of this thing called yin and yang?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, seriously, you've got a tattoo of it on your upper back. It's cute. Everybody's got it. It's,
yin and yang.
Yeah.
Not yin and yang. Yin and yang.
That's right. Yes. Yin and yang, yin and yang, whatever. You know, same thing. You got the point. Seriously, there's always a healthy balance to everything. You've got the good cop, you've got the bad cop. You've got the tough days of practice, and then you've got the reward at the end of practice. You've got the days where you've got to grind it out for 2 weeks straight, and then, you know, by the time you get to week 16, guess what? The pads come off. Mike Shanahan, for example, every single practice, including, like, week one, he would have you go 9-on-7, you'd be in full pads. Your first period of team, you would be in full pads. And then in that same practice, you would take those pads off and you would have a 60% style walkthrough to finish off practice because you got your work in the beginning of practice. There's always going to be a healthy balance. And I truly do believe being a good leader is knowing how to push guys and knowing when to reward guys. And when you push them, and you realize, okay, I've hit the point where these guys deserve to be rewarded, now they know that you are a normal human being. And now they know that they can trust you when you're trying to push them to the limits, that they know that on the other side of that, they could trust that you're going to recognize when you've pushed them too far.
This is ultimately and has to be dictated by the head coach. This would absolutely 1,000% be his call.
Of course.
How do you think Vic Fangio is in that department?
I think that he's probably pretty good. I like the signs of what he's done so far. I mean, I really do. We've actually had a lot of signs. If anything, he might be a little bit on the softer side, which has surprised me based off a handful of decisions that he's made over the last couple of years. He's had moments where he's taken the pads off. Last year, they didn't have a single live snap in all of training camp where they were tackling guys to the ground. Not once, all of training camp. So, I mean, if you want to argue that he rewards the guys too often, okay, you can make that argument. I guess I don't view it that way. I think that Vic Fangio is a guy that looks at these guys like I know when to push them and I know when to back off.
You know, I actually agree with you on that, and here's why. Because we talked about the green notebook, like in The Waterboy with Henry Winkler, who I was compared to again today. I'm like, okay. It always seemed to us that Vic Fangio has had a way that he wants to do things all over all these years. Like he's written it all down in that little green notebook. And my guess, this is one of the ways. I think he is a good judge of relationships with players. I've heard really no bad comments about relationships with Vic. The Broncos are doing these kind of fun videos, and it does seem like he's got a pretty good relationship with the guys out there.
Oh, if you go back to when he got hired and all the guys from Chicago, the way that they would rant and rave about the Godfather, and, you know, they just loved him, man. And, you know, when he first got here, there were a handful of players. There's one guy that is still here that has been rewarded, and he's got a nice, healthy contract now that at the beginning, he didn't love Vic Fangio.
Mm-hmm.
Now he does. I don't know of a player that looks at Vic Fangio like they don't like this guy.
All right. And I want your answer when we come back.
I got the challenge, by the way.
Save that, too. But here's my question. Is that a trait that's more important for an assistant coach to have? Or a head coach to have.
Hmm.
And if you got a challenge, I want to hear that next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Man.
Richie is bringing back waffles for us just to see if it's really that big of a deal to eat 24 waffles in a, I don't know, doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. But you said you had a better challenge that was suggested to us?
Well, I saw one on the text line that I've actually done this challenge in the past, and it is painful. Have you ever done the gallon of milk challenge?
No. What's that?
Gallon of milk in an hour. You got to drink 1 gallon of milk, and the key is not drinking the gallon. The key is keeping the gallon down. Because
so how many glasses would that be? Like a gallon?
No,
like,
it's a gallon. I don't know how many glasses is it. It's a gallon. It's a gallon of milk.
That doesn't seem hard either.
Yeah, but you've never had a gallon of milk in your stomach.
I
don't know what that does to your stomach.
What kind of milk? Does it make a difference? If it's 0%, 2%,
whole milk.
Whole milk?
I mean, we're not going to mess around here and go with skim milk. I mean, come on. If we're doing it, we're doing the whole milk.
Would you rather do that than the waffle thing?
Well, I don't want to sit in a Waffle House for 24 hours.
The milk does have, the milk challenge does have some visual, possibilities.
Yes.
That
yes.
The waffle thing doesn't.
I've done it before, and, I did it in high school in order to win a free youth, go to summer camp. You got a free camp if you kept the gallon of milk down.
Are you kidding me?
I kept the gallon of milk down. I yacked like 30 seconds later.
All right. I mean, that's better than
just telling you, it's painful. It's not fun. What? I mean, there's the cinnamon challenge. There's the gallon of milk challenge. There's the saltine crackers one. Somebody on the text line. Well, actually, a lot of people on the text line. I've never heard of this one. Apparently, try to eat 2 bananas and drink a liter of Sprite.
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know. Apparently, it's impossible.
Why?
I don't know.
That doesn't sound hard at all.
You ever done the cinnamon one?
I've not. I've heard that's tough, though.
Oh, I've done that one, too.
Mm-mm.
See, you're just not the fun guy. Like, if you haven't tried any of this stuff, you just don't want to have fun. That's why you don't like field day. You're not the fun guy.
I think I'm plenty fun. And I'm not against field day.
You're not against field gate day.
I'm sorry, what?
You're not against field day.
There
you've
go.
Just been mad about it for the last 24 hours.
I'm trying to see the other side of it. I'm trying to understand, so I'm listening. I'm hearing what you're saying and what Stink said, and to me, my frustration. I did hear what Cecil said too, and what Cecil said. Well, first of all, so Cecil's kind of waffling because Richie went and did a poll of everybody, and Cecil was against it initially, and then was fine with it, according to Richie's little poll here. Initially, Cecil was against it because of the team's poor record, but kind of came around eventually. So Cecil was waffling. But I did hear him this morning with Mike and Mark. And
so there's the fun party. There's the table that you want to go to the frat party. And then there's like the, I was going to use the Sandy Clough yelling at post-game callers table, but actually Sandy's in the fun table.
Sandy's fine with it.
Yeah, I can't use that.
And by the way, if you want to come to a party with me.
So how many boring dudes do we have on this staff?
You think a night out with me, Stokely and Orlando, would be boring?
I'm just going to check it out. Check it out. Hold on.
We've had a couple of those nights. It wasn't boring.
Zach. We got three guys that think it was a big deal. That's it? Am I missing anyone?
Well, Cecil's like kind of on the fence, I guess.
What does Cecil count as? What do you want to count him as?
I don't know.
He tried to suck up to me on Twitter last night. He was like, hey, everybody listen to Tyler. Cecil, I can read between the lines.
Right.
You tried to destroy us
right.
for your first hour of your show two nights ago.
Right.
Don't try to suck up to me now. Cecil Lammy.
Hey, what comes around goes around.
I don't want your retweet, Cecil Lammy.
All right. Well, Richie's bringing the waffle back. Oh, my God. That's so funny. We'll see. I think Fangio does get along with the players. You said you're a little surprised that he wouldn't be more tough on him, that sort of thing. You just have to watch the Broncos videos to see, his relationship with people like Justin Simmons and others. I do think he's very well liked. What I wanted to find out from you, is that a better trait from an assistant coach or a head coach?
Well, define that just a little bit more specifically.
Well,
for example,
in Chicago, he's very, very popular amongst his players. He was an assistant coach for 30 years. So I guess the question is,
for a head coach, do you need to be liked? Is that your question?
Yeah, kind of. Or do you need that sense of authority that when you're there as the head coach is business time and you leave the fun stuff to your assistants?
Respect is the word that you're looking for, that you have to have. I mean, fun.
Okay.
No, you don't have to be fun. You don't even have to be liked, but you got to be respected. Mike Shanahan was not the type of guy that you were like, boy, I can't wait to go sit down at the lunch table with Mike. This is going to be a lot of fun today. But you're dang sure, first off, you did like him. But second off, you dang sure respected him.
Yeah.
Now, Pete Carroll was the fun guy. He was the guy that tried to be buddy-buddy with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something about Pete that you just didn't necessarily... You didn't quite relate to him the way that he tried to relate to you. Dan Quinn would have been the most authentic head coach I've ever had who genuinely wanted to be your friends. His whole deal was about brotherhood.
Hmm.
And now, look, you can make jokes and say, well, where's Dan Quinn today? Fine. But he was an NFL head coach. That was a pretty big deal. That's not easy to become an NFL head coach. He went to the Super Bowl, had an epic collapse. He truly went out of his way to have dinner with the guys, to have lunch with the guys, mm-hmm. to we would have military events where we would go train with the military. We would have all kinds of just team bonding activities like this. But no, the fun part isn't what makes a coach good. It's being able to respect him and trust. Trust that you know that he's going to push you to your limits, but he's going to back off when he recognizes that you've reached your limits.
And that's where Josh McDaniels was terrible.
Correct.
And that's where VJ struggled as well. I wonder if the players trust Vic Fangio as a decision maker, as a head coach. They clearly like him as a person. They clearly respect him as a defensive coach. But I wonder if they've got, like, I mean, I've seen the respect the players had for Gary Kubiak, Tyler. It was off the charts. Off the charts.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, you know, he was a fun enough, you know, like, he'd joke around with you a little bit, but he wouldn't be hooting and hollering at field day. He'd be there. He wouldn't stop it, I guess. But he wouldn't be like, for example, I saw the video they put out there, and Reggie Herring, who is just loved by so many players and can be yelling and screaming. He's out there hooting and hollering, yelling, screaming as they're trying to hit wiffle balls or whatever.
I think that was Kolar, but yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Reggie Herring. Was it Kolar?
Yeah, it was Kolar. Right. No big deal.
All right, but they're kind of the same type of guy. Same sort of thing, though.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, that's fine for him, but would you want your head coach to be doing that?
Pete Carroll was the ultimate cheerleader, man.
Yeah, I mean,
he's the dude running up and down the sideline, jumping on your back, chomping on the gum. And
I would inherently think there's got to be an element of respect and slight fear with your head guy that you can go to your assistant coach and complain about.
You shouldn't feel that comfortable around your head coach.
Okay,
You shouldn't be willing to just do whatever you want around the head coach.
You should have some element of, like, he's the guy.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and I think McDaniels and VJ, for example, just were both lacking that. Mm. Kubiak had it. Foxy? Oh, man. Sort of had it. Fangio, I don't know.
Where's my waffle?
It's coming. I think it's another, by the way, I think this is high praise for Mike Shanahan, high praise for Gary Kubiak. I think there are some guys, Tyler, who are just born to be head coaches. It's just who they are, you know? And that sense of leadership is a big part of it. Big part of it. Okay, No Offense Friday. We'll be getting our waffles here soon. We'll see really if it's that big of a deal. That comes up next on The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palamas and D-Mac.
On the text line, No Offense Friday. Love it. Just put no offense in front of anything, and you can say anything. It's amazing.
Yes.
Just say no
offense. No offense, D-Mac. You didn't play the game. Field day's fun.
I get it. Nate Jackson. I gotcha. At Nathan Sirius. Isn't that funny? The guy that's hanging me up for not being, you know, all that fun. His name is Nathan Sirius on Twitter. But no offense, guys, but I have a hard time believing anyone but Joey Chestnut can put down the 7,500-plus calories the 24 waffles from the Waffle House equate to in one sitting.
Oh, is that what it is? Did you do the math for real? Like, person that texted that in, is that for real what the math says?
Dude, I saw somebody that said it was 10,800 calories.
Okay, now I want to know. So look it up. Waffle House. Waffle calories.
Dude, that is kind of beastly right there. 10,800 calories.
Are you looking for a pecan, plain, buttermilk? What kind are you looking for?
Just plain? Plain.
Okay. I gotta pull out the
classic waffles 410.
Not according to what I'm looking at. The plain waffle says 314.
That's okay. Oh, whatever.
Times 24. Need a calculator. Yeah, that's 7,000. Well, he was right. 7,536 calories.
Mm. I'm having a plant based protein.
Okay,
bars,
just for the record. For the record, when I was an NFL player,
yes,
I used to intentionally consume between 7,000 and 10,000 calories a day.
Come on!
Absolutely.
How would you possibly do that?
100%, that was the goal. I tried to eat 7,000 calories a day. If I did not, guess what I was doing? If I didn't hit 7,000 calories a day, I was probably losing a pound and a half.
A day?
Yep.
All every right, single so day. I got to think about
so
that.
So I would start out the season, and, you know, a lot of guys, like Orlando, you know, a lot of guys that were on the bigger side, they would get fined for coming in too big, right? I got fined for coming in too light. So I had a goal that when I would go home over the off season, they would say, Tyler, you got to come back at 308. If you don't come back at 308, you're getting fined. Most guys get fined because they come back at 315 rather than 308. I would come back at 305 and I would be in the danger zone, right? So I would start the season anywhere between 305 and 310. I would finish the season probably between 290, 295, and it took all of 7,000 to 10,000 calories per day to keep that weight on.
Goodness gracious. We are going to have our offensive line summit with you, Orlando, and Mark Schlereth at 5:10 today. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, I can't wait for Mark and I just give a beat down to Orlando.
It's
going
to be...
Like, what is going on with Orlando?
See, somebody's
who
just,
kicked his cat?
Somebody's sending in a when I was fat.
Oh, I mean, that D-Mac definitely could eat all those waffles.
I think that D-Mac,
that is an amazing picture.
I know.
I mean, seriously, forget your current avatar. Make that your avatar. Why don't you embrace that? That is amazing.
You got to be kidding me.
No, that's amazing.
That's what I'm trying to run away from.
Yeah, I know, but that's like a daily reminder. Like, hey, this is who I used to be.
Oh.
I'm not any longer.
Trust me. There's pictures that are around the house that remind me that on a daily basis. Yes. Mm. Yeah. And the textures are happy.
I think it's a fantastic photo.
No offense, Kubiak would not have a Super Bowl without Manning. Wow. Slamming a running back into the back of the offensive line for all those years was stupid.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Wide zone running, the most successful running scheme in the NFL for the last, let's call it 60 years. The most explosive running style in the NFL. That was dumb. That was archaic. You think it's still archaic? You think Kyle Shanahan's running scheme is archaic?
It was boring, but it worked.
Why was it boring? I don't get that.
Oh, my God.
Why was moving the sticks boring? Why play action shots, chunks in the passing game? How is that boring?
God, how do I?
What's boring is what we've been watching for the last 4 or 5 years. That's boring.
I get it. I wasn't trying to defend what we were watching.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to compare, well, Peyton Manning would. It's tricky because Peyton wasn't the same guy he was in year four that he was here in years one and two when he was with the Broncos. But I've never seen anything in my life as dynamic and as exciting as those two offenses in 2012 and 2013. To be around that, to see that in action, I mean, dude, it was wild. It was awesome.
No offense.
Okay.
But I do not believe you that you claim that you've never eaten an entire large pizza by yourself.
You've told
me
you don't believe that.
I just flat out do not believe that.
I certainly look like I could have.
That's like a rite of passage into manhood. You order a large pizza and you eat it by yourself.
I know. But there's
I did it last Friday night.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Tell me about that breakdown.
Well, I ordered a large pizza and I ate it.
Where was the rest of the family?
They were sitting right next to me eating their pizza.
So you ordered a pizza for yourself.
I got a pepperoni pizza.
For me. I'm getting a large pepperoni.
Now, if I'm going to be fair and truly represent the accuracy of the story, I left two slices for a 10 p.m. snack that I finished at 10 p.m.
Okay. Because anybody can eat a personal pizza. That's not a big deal. We're talking about a large pizza.
Yeah, large.
That would feed a family of four, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you, with your family of five.
I've probably done that 45 times in my life.
Yeah, I've not done that once.
I don't believe that.
No. Well, I'm not a cheese guy. I've never, despite how fat I've been, which is ridiculous, I just don't like cheese. I never have my entire life. So it's kind of more of a victim of that. But I've just never done it. But I don't like cheese, so why would I eat a? I don't eat pizza in general. Never have.
Yeah, no offense, but mung beans, they make you smell worse than cheese does.
I had a nod and a wink at you, but you didn't come in the studio quick enough before the show started today. But I'm telling you, I've been pretty good, but boy,
you've been on your best behavior since I called you out.
I tell you what, it's been crazy. And it's funny because Raj got a little thing back in the office that makes everything smell good.
Oh,
got
really?
A little Star Wars Yoda incense thing. And it's like, wow, somebody's
like, get that in here?
Dude, it smelled like somebody was baking brownies. And we're like, whoa, what's the treat here today? And then he was like, no, I got a Yoda incense thing.
Mm.
But let me tell you, we needed that right before the show started here today. No, I let it, I let it rip. I let it fly.
Let it fly.
Let it rip. Let it fly.
Not snug in here at all. But I kind of waved things around and I just was like,
oh my gosh, that's enough. That's enough.
You know what? Let it rip.
Let it fly.
The Drive on the Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Man.
All right, next Thursday, man, we're playing golf against, I mean, we have no chance to win. Just listen to all the other shows and you'll hear that. But we're the only show on the station willing to do something at least fun. Rip me for not liking field day. Well, come on, how about this? I mean, everybody else is just arrogant and not going to do anything that's, you know, interesting whatsoever.
I really just feel bad for Stoke and Zach in Orlando that they can't play because they have to opt out because they want to do the show.
Well, they should be leaders.
They don't want to have a fun day.
Right. Was suggested. How about that? Yeah. Can you imagine Von Miller going into the office and being like, Coach,
not doing field day today.
We need a whatever.
Today's not the day. All I know is that our field day has arrived. That's what I know. I'm fired up. The waffles are here. D-Mac, you made Richie go get it. You were kind enough to buy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For the record. D-Mac bought everybody waffles.
That's it?
That's the waffle?
So the thing is, there's a guy who lost a fantasy football league. He went into a Waffle House, and he had to... What was it? He had to... waffle he ate was an hour less.
He had to stay there for 24 hours.
Right.
And every waffle that he ate, he got to take an hour off. Oh, we got two waffles. Perfect.
Oh, that's two. Why'd you get two?
Three? Did we get three? How many did we get here? Three waffles. I got three.
Oh, I got two. Richie got you an extra waffle.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to down these three waffles.
Dude, this is no big deal. This is... Richie, I don't think it's a big deal. I heard grumblings back there that you guys didn't think it was a big deal either, that you were disappointed with the size of the waffles.
Well, I will tell you this. I think you guys are catching a little bit of a break here because these waffles are not near the size of what I remember eating when I was...
I need more syrup.
Waffle House. I got more
syrup. Yeah.
Yeah, this is not on the diet plan. But
everybody want to listen to us eat waffles? Is that what you wanted to hear right now?
Let me just eat one. Yeah. A little bite.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm going to intentionally eat these three waffles in the next 60 seconds. That's what I'm going to do. Now, if you give me enough time to just pre-cut it, that's the biggest challenge, is just the cutting. I get down these three in the next. I just took 3 hours off of my punishment in 60 seconds. That's what I'm going to do here.
Yeah, this guy could only get 9 down in 15 hours.
Give me a break.
Right.
Richie.
Well, I'm going to take my time more than you, but I'll finish it off eventually.
Yeah, just got to get a little syrup on here, a little dry.
How about this on No Offense Friday? No offense, but we should be watching Justin Fields competing with Drew Locke, not Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, D-Mac wrote that, actually.
I did not write that. No, you know I wouldn't write that. That is not Glennon Trubisky doctrine right there. You know what I would have done. Drafted Justin Fields, got Teddy Bridgewater, and I would have moved Drew Locke. Or kept Drew Locke around, because I want as deep of a quarterback room as I can get.
Yeah, but if you got Justin Fields, why wouldn't you just play Justin Fields? Why would you play Teddy Bridgewater?
Because you need a year to develop, like Glennon Trubisky.
Yeah.
Like, it would be so much smarter of me change it to Smith Mahomes.
Right. Yeah, you're right. That would be much smarter of you, and it would actually make sense.
Same theory.
No, it's not. It's not even remotely the same theory, because you've got a quarterback that is worthy of playing. No, it's not. D-Mac, Glennon could never, ever go take the Chiefs into the playoffs, but Alex Smith can. So if you're going to sit
right
a guy,
okay.
Well, I'm trying to eat a couple waffles here.
Get upset and eat the waffles. This is what I should do to debate Tyler. Just make sure you're eating something so you can't finish your point.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, come on. Seriously, think about it for a second. The Glennon Trubisky doctrine is actually dumb. The Mahomes one, that one would work.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not. Because you would never, ever, ever, just like for the same reason why I'm going to get a coffee from you when Andy Dalton gets benched in week three, you would never, ever, ever play Glennon for an entire season.
The concept is a philosophy because free agency comes before the draft. It's to get a veteran quarterback while the real plan is to develop your first round high as you can go. even if it's to move up one spot. In the Chiefs' case, they moved from 20-something up to 8, 9, 10, whatever it was. For the Bears, they moved from 3 to 2. And that's why I use that, because it's such an incredible exaggeration that you move one spot
to get
your guy.
Yeah, but you're saying that you would let the guy sit behind him for an entire year to learn.
In reality,
you wouldn't do that, because the guy clearly is not going to be as good as the dude that you drafted.
I would be fine with it, but if it progresses, you can hear all of this in DMAC, A Relentless Life Pursuing Quarterbacks, and the audiobook that's on DenverFan.com right now. I mean, I go through it in detail.
Of course I listen. You're my partner.
I don't know if we've gotten to...
I listened to the entire thing.
You have?
Yeah, I listened to the entire first chapter.
Okay. I think we're on chapter 7 now. You just got through playing bocce ball with Meatloaf at Jim Kelly's house.
You did lose me with Meatloaf. You went too long with Meatloaf.
All right. There are deeper thoughts in there.
This is seriously the dumbest challenge I've ever heard of in my entire life.
This waffle thing?
Cheesecake.
It's not a big deal.
I'm halfway done with three already.
Yeah, you're almost...
I'm talking, I'm getting mad about Alex Smith, I'm getting mad about Glennon. You know, what are we doing here? Richie, do you just want to say you're wrong? I'm sorry?
So you think you could do this 8 more times, no problem?
Yes, I could do it 8 more times in the next hour.
Well, hold on a second. We could go back to the Waffle House if you really think that's the case.
You know you can't do that.
I'm sure,
I appreciate the bravado.
We're on till 7. It wouldn't take nothing for to get, you know, 8 more servings of that.
Send them back. Let's go.
Shut up.
Send them back. I'm in.
Didn't we have the Waffle House manager reach out? I'm not going to send Richie back, but if the guy from Waffle House wants to bring us 8 more servings of three waffles for you to polish off, fine.
You're not even done with them yet, and you're already kind of taking the victory lap.
Yeah, I know. You are struggling. I'm not even remotely struggling.
I'm trying to actually have a discussion.
Little pictures, video going on right now to see what Tyler... He's getting a little cocky right now.
Now, 24 mung bean omelets? Those? No, couldn't do that.
24 mung bean omelets?
Couldn't do that.
I love people ripping on mung bean. Nobody even knows what it is, but it's inherently terrible. It's like one of the healthiest things you could ever have. Yeah, go, no, video it up. He is slowing down. And he's putting more syrup on it. He is actually getting a little cocky right there.
A little bit dried.
Yeah. He is slowing down.
I do need some water. I'm not even remotely slowing down here, fellas.
I'm telling you, you're slowing down. The pace has slowed down.
Well, if you don't need me to talk the rest of this segment, then I'm happy to not talk.
I mean, do whatever you want.
You don't want me to talk? I won't talk.
Everybody would love hearing that. Tyler with a mouth and a gullet full of waffles sounds like James Earl Jones. Say this is CNN with a waffle full of a mouthful of waffle. There's the waffle.
This is CNN.
That doesn't sound like James Earl Jones. instead of calling the Glennon Trubisky doctrine, call it something else. Yeah, it would help a lot. And because people always,
right, because it would make sense.
People always get hung up on the names rather than the philosophy or the position.
Hold on. As if the actual players that you draft are not relevant to the philosophy that you're trying to
enact. No. Of course they are.
So it doesn't matter to the philosophy.
The philosophy.
Yes, it does.
No.
Because if you don't have the right players, then you can't enact that philosophy.
But saying like, move up in the draft as high as you can to get the young quarterback you believe in to be tutored by a veteran quarterback that you acquire, and it doesn't matter if the veteran quarterback makes a lot more money than the younger guy, is a very clumsy title. But essentially, that's what it is.
But also wouldn't generically always make sense.
But I wouldn't want Justin Fields competing against Drew Lock. I would have Teddy Bridgewater here. By the way, that is exactly what's happening in Chicago right now. So we'll see what happens. I guess it's ironic the Bears are doing it again, or you could say, because I do think the Bears GM, Ryan Pace, is still there. Amazingly, he survived just, you know, Glennon and Trubisky and all that, and he's still there.
Yeah, so did homie in Arizona, Wilkes.
Steve Wilkes is still there. Yeah. That is unbelievable, too. How both of those guys actually survived is amazing, but you're right, they actually both did survive. And now they're trying again with Justin Fields, and they were aggressive trying to get Justin Fields. They wanted to do a deal with the Broncos. The Broncos didn't want to have it with them. And they lucked out. I mean, they lucked out. Oh, what'd I say? Wilkes? Oh, the guy they
Steve
fired,
Kime.
The guy they fired was Wilkes. Steve Kime, sorry. Mile long, 3 inches deep. No depth.
Text line mad at me yet for eating? I haven't taken a look.
No, I think they, no, I think they're fine with you.
This is CNN. any other requests? What you want to hear me say?
It's at that moment D-Mac
chubby
doesn't
bunny?
Know. Wait,
you
hold on.
Chubby
did,
bunny?
Did I get it wrong? I'm sorry. What?
Chubby bunny.
The moment when D-Mac doesn't know who James Earl Jones is. Hold did on, I get that
I got,
wrong?
I got another one. I got another one. Hold on. Let me get a mouthful.
James Earl Jones. Yeah, he was Darth Vader and Mufasa and the voice of CNN. It's James Earl Jones. It was. I didn't get that wrong.
This is D-Mac of 24 months ago.
Right. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Tyler, you have to eat 50% more waffles. You're huge. You have to eat 36 of them. Wow. So they're saying for this to be equivalent to a regular human being, you'd actually have to eat more. By the way, that blows me away. You were eating 7,000 to 10,000 calories a day.
I would.
How would you even manage that?
Well, before bed, I would always eat two PB&Js. I would drink a couple Ensures. I might melt down a tub of ice cream, drink that tub of ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Right. For efficiency, you know.
Before bed.
It really wasn't about enjoying the ice cream. It was just the efficiency of eating the ice cream. Melt it down, set it out for a little bit. Much easier to get through that tub.
Have you? I got a good YouTube.
Jerry Garcia.
I got a good YouTube wormhole for you. All right, let me ask you this. We're going to have
I'm starting to not feel great.
You're almost done with the first three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got another seven servings coming. Theoretically.
Well, I already knocked 3 hours out.
You did? Yeah. Do you consider strong men? This is a fun one for you out there. Like the world's strongest man.
Yeah, I've got a good friend that's competing in it.
Well, I'll get to that in a second. Do you consider them athletes?
It's a good one.
Because runners in your world are not athletes.
I guess by my definition, no. Because that's a test of mental toughness more than anything else. I mean, I'm not saying that anybody could become a strong man, and clearly you have to put in an insane amount of work.
Same as a runner.
To become a strong man.
Same as a marathon runner.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the specific athletic talent is to be a strong man.
Lifting and pulling, dragging.
I mean, in theory, if you
hoisting.
Gave me enough testosterone shots, maybe some DECA and some whatever else that you need, do you think I could become a strong man? No, I'm too tall, too lanky. You got to be short.
You would, well, you'd be like the Game of Thrones guy there, Bjorgen Van Morgensen, Borgensen.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever his name is. You're kind of like him. And he does struggle to, he does really well, but he doesn't necessarily win. We do have a Colorado guy, Brian Shaw. Are you guys familiar with Brian Shaw?
I am.
He is one of the world's strongest men. He actually, I think, is your height.
I think my friend trains with him.
Okay, who's your friend?
His name's Alex Kelly. He's a former Colorado Buffalo. He tried to make a run at in the NFL, didn't work out. Now he's doing World's Strongest Man stuff.
Okay. Well, my respect for Brian Shaw, and I believe Brian is from Fort Collins. Boy, that would be hey, man, if we want to have a fun guest to come in this summer before we get kind of back into training camp, Richie, try to book Brian Shaw in studio sometime. The videos of Brian Shaw's diet and what he consumes on a daily basis it is overwhelming. He's got a pretty cool YouTube video. He kind of documents everything that he goes through to be 6'8", 470 pounds.
Well, my last two bites.
There you go, buddy. There you go. Look at that. Man, that tubby little Tyler's in there somewhere, isn't he?
Never left.
Fucking to Fat Tyler.
Uh-huh. I gotta get on my bike tonight.
You're like channeling Fat Tyler.
Mouth's getting really dry.
Can we bring Fat Tyler some water, please?
As soon as he finishes 25 more
things. I'm done! I'm done with 3 hours. And 21 more to go.
Tyler just put down like 1,300 calories right there in about 7 minutes.
No problem.
Wow.
I really don't feel good. It doesn't. I mean, I accomplished the goal.
We're going to have
I feel successful because, you know, once you put your mind to something, you want to win. I do feel like I won. I feel like I made Richie look like an idiot.
You guys, hey, look how much I got left over here. I'm look at this, ridiculous.
If you don't need that waffle, I'm actually going to be ticked off of you, though.
I know, I'll try.
If you try,
well, yeah, we've been talking 2 hours left on the show.
You've been talking as much trash as I have, buddy. If you don't eat that waffle, that's actually messed up. You made Richie go.
I really don't know why you couldn't just eat 24 waffles in one sitting. I mean, Figure it out.
I'm going to say that wasn't a good health decision, what I just did.
No, not at all. Definitely not. But I think you did prove you would finish off.
I proved my point that easily.
Right.
If you gave me another 6 hours, I could be done with the 24.
No problem. In fact, I think way less than that. But you are 6'8", and you did channel Fat Tyler for those past 10 minutes.
Sure. Yeah, no problem.
You know what was disturbing? He just started talking as Fat Tyler to Tyler, or Tyler was talking to Fat Tyler at the same time.
Well, I still
this is D-Mac of 24 months ago.
When we have Orlando and Mark on here in about 8 minutes, I gotta ask these guys if they channel the fat versions of themselves to what they had to do to be in the NFL. Because I just saw that. It was like poltergeist in here.
I think they were just fat. Like, I've got fat version of me.
Wow!
But that's just like half of me. They've just got, like, Mark in Orlando.
It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
And a little bit of chicken fried.
Friday!
Cold hot waffle on Friday, Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit. Don't fit anymore. Right.
Oh, man, look at this text I just got. Brian Shaw is in California right now for the world's strongest man. He's from Fort Lupton. Sorry, do not mean to get that confused with Fort Collins. I tried to get him on with you several years ago, and you blew me off. Wow, so it's just still angry. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, if Brian's around, man, we'd love to have him on.
Ooh.
We're doing this waffle challenge because... There's a guy who lost a fantasy football bet, and he was in a Waffle House for 24 hours. I'm sorry. You all right? Okay. And he got an hour off for every waffle he ate from Waffle House. So Richie went out to Waffle House and got a bunch of waffles, and got waffles for Kevin. And you know, I bought them. You're welcome.
How do I fix what I just did?
Yeah, you don't. You've really got to live with it.
I do. I can't make that go away.
You just choked down 1,400 calories in about 7 minutes.
I had to prove a point.
Okay.
Do I win?
You win.
Tell me I'm a winner.
Yeah, you win, all right. Enjoy dinner. We're going to have the...
You know what? I'm going to ask my wife if we can go to Waffle House tonight.
There you go.
My hands are all sticky with syrup and
stuff. Do you need some water? Are you all right?
I got a Gatorade full of sugar to wash it down.
Perfect. We're going to have our offensive lineman summit in a few minutes. Now, I am definitely not trying to get hung up on the specifics of field day. It's more a concept of culture. What's a good culture? What's a bad culture? What kind of culture do you need? And I bring that up because Orlando said about field day, the Broncos didn't deserve it. Not that field day was a bad thing. I mean, everybody agrees camaraderie, bonding with each other is a good thing. Orlando's issue was the context of it because they didn't deserve it. And I think Stokely was on the same path as well. Whereas we had Nate
Jackson. Well, you know, there's a theory there that Nate brought up, Nate Jackson, as you were just going to mention. Yeah, okay, so are we going to punish them for last year's team when you've got 40% of the roster that wasn't even around last year and it's a new year, it's a new team? What do you try to do when you've got a bad moment? Seriously, as a competitor, if you go out there, what was your favorite sport, D-Mac? What were you best at? Baseball?
Sadly, I was best at soccer. I wanted to be best at baseball, but sadly, I was best at soccer.
I don't really know any soccer analogies, so I'm not going to use that. But let's use baseball, okay?
Sure.
So
I love baseball.
You go up there, you know, you're just dreaming. You got an opportunity of a lifetime. You got bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, D-Mac steps up to the plate.
I had a moment. I can tell you about it.
You've been dreaming of.
I can really bore you at the moment if you want.
You swing and you miss and you strike out.
Oh.
Game over, okay?
Oh, man.
Now, what are you going to do the next game or the next year, the next time that you've got that opportunity? Are you going to sit there and you're going to stew on what happened last year? Or are you going to try to flush it and you're going to move on? Because the only chance that you've got to actually hit a dinger and, you know, be the hero. I don't know if you're ever the hero or not.
I was.
But the only chance you've got to be the hero again is if you're going to flush it. So there's no point in living in the past of last season. There's really not.
Okay. You're going to tell Orlando that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, are you challenging me? You think that I'm going to back off my take because I'm talking to Orlando?
I plan on just letting the three of you guys just kind of hash it up. I highly doubt
if things get combative between us, if that's what you're assuming.
Well, I don't know where it's going to go. But I thought it was interesting that, well, first of all, are offensive linemen the smartest guys on a football team?
Well, technically speaking, if you follow the Wunderlich, quarterbacks are the smartest.
Oh,
second smartest on the team are offensive tackles.
Okay. Offensive tackles.
Yeah, yeah.
You were clear to not say linemen. You say tackles.
Well, that's because, yeah, according to the Wunderlich, offensive tackles are number two.
I got a fun one for you. Was Orlando a tackle or a guard?
Oh, definitely a tackle. Smart dude. Really smart dude.
Okay.
Yeah. Mark? Not a tackle.
Well, he never played tackle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a...
Mark, Wunderlich, who knows? Orlando? Smart.
Okay. But Orlando did play both guard and tackle in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just played tackle, right? Oh, you did play some guard. Wait a second. No, you did play some guard.
Yeah, I was like fill-in guard, spot duty guard.
Right.
Orlando was, I got too fat to play tackle guard.
I'm sorry, what? Wow. All right, well, that comes up in about 3 minutes with Stinkin' Orlando. No, I seriously, I just think it'd be an interesting conversation for you guys to have about the culture of the team, what it means to build up, how you build a winning culture, what it really means. And I understand that there's so much turnover in the NFL. I agree with you on that. Whatever happened last year to me, and I was surprised by that take with Orlando, I don't think it matters. But I talked to Chad Brown last night, and he said it's a culture thing, and, you know, he kind of didn't deserve it, and Orlando said that, and I'm like, okay. I think Chad's more was like, what are you as an organization in general?
Yeah, but what does that mean? I mean, seriously.
I don't know.
Does that mean as an organization you're not allowed to have fun? Is that what that means? Does that mean if you have a day, if you have a field day that you're not locked in, you're not dialed in, you're not competitive, you don't have any desire to go into the playoffs because you had a field day? Is that the assumption there?
Is that
what that means?
I don't know. You'd have to, well, that's why we're having them on. I do know this because I've been lucky enough to be around the Broncos for the better part of 13 years in a row. Now, you were not on these teams. This was the very weird, the McDaniels, after McDaniels had cut you and the team had just sunk. McDaniels' first year was actually, if you remember, you guys 6-0.
Started out 6-0. It was
crazy.
The most miserable 6-0 I've ever been a part of. Seriously, that was the weirdest deal ever, man. We were the hottest team in the NFL. We were undefeated at 6-0. I'm telling you, you'd walk in that building on Monday morning and it was a funeral. Every single day felt
crazy,
like the
right?
worst day of your life.
And the only six...
And that's why there's got to be yin and yang.
Okay.
That's why.
That was the only 6-0 team ever to not make the playoffs.
Is that right?
That is correct.
Well, I'm a part of history.
Yep. Because they cut Brett Kern, who's still punting in the NFL to this day. 6-0, you cut the punter. Good
job.
You know,
the year before that, we had an epic collapse also with Mike.
You did?
We had the last...
8-5.
We had to win one of our last three games, and we were going to make the playoffs.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, we're in, man.
Yep.
All we got to do is win one of these.
Yep.
Then it comes down to the wire. We got to beat the Chargers week 17. As long as we beat the Chargers, we're going to be good to go,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Go out there to San Diego. Lost three straight.
Unbelievable. And the next year, you weren't on the team the next year when McDaniels got fired. But, Tyler, I'm telling you, the culture was so messed up. It was so messed up, you could feel it out at practice. I don't know how else to describe it aside from just saying it was only based on seriously, hundreds of practices I've been at over my career covering the Broncos. There was just something so off. Like, whatever McDaniels had done, had torpedoed the entire organization, that you could feel it from the players.
Dak just wore thin. I'm telling you, wore thin while we were winning games. Think about that for a second. Do you know how fun it is when you win a game in the NFL? It is the time of your life. You win that game, and for a week, you are just full of pride and joy and enthusiasm. You lose a game, and yeah, you can't wait to get back out there because the next week is going to be miserable. But imagine winning six straight games and walking into work and feeling like it's a funeral.
It's hard to imagine. And I was covering...
But you know what? On the opposite side of that also, I'll point out, okay, if we want to talk about the Broncos being a bad football team, and if you want to say, okay, well, how do you change the culture of a bad football team? Well, do you just want, because you're bad, are you going to keep it miserable every single day? Are you going to make sure that these guys know that it's a funeral every single day for a year and a half straight because you didn't go to the playoffs last year? Is that how you're going to change around the culture of this team? Because that's not going to work. It's not. If you get to the point where the team has lost enough games, where you've gone long enough, where you just cannot win a dang football game, at some point the coaches have to say, you know what? Forget it. We sucked this week, but we're going to lighten up and we're not going to crush you because we're never going to turn things around unless we can have a little bit of fun around here.
We are having problems connecting with Orlando, but Mark Schlereth is probably was early, actually, but Mark is there. And hopefully we can get Orlando on, especially because Orlando has more of the dissenting opinion here. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good.
I'm not feeling very good at the moment, actually, Mark.
Yeah, Tyler just choked down three waffles to see if he could actually eat 24 waffles from Waffle House in a short period of time.
24?
Yeah, well, I had three in the last 6 minutes, but the point was to prove that I could eat 24 waffles in 10 hours. That was the point. I feel like I accomplished that.
Yeah, I don't know what the I don't know why you would want to make that point, but there's certain foods that I don't do well, like eating mass quantities. Anything with syrup, like pancakes or waffles.
That's not a lot.
I only have a few, and then I'm done.
I mean, I've got regrets. I'm not proud of myself.
Well,
right
the reason why, Mark, is there's a guy who lost a fantasy football league, and his punishment was to sit in a Waffle House for 24 hours. However, for every waffle he consumed, he could minus 1 hour. And he ended up choking down 9 waffles in 15 hours.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we're just trying to...
I mean, you don't think if you had to, if you were stuck in a Waffle House jail for 24 hours, you don't think you could eat 24 waffles in 9 hours to get out of there, Mark?
I don't know. 24? I don't think I could eat 24 waffles.
Wow. Yeah. Talk about skim milk. Goodness.
Oh, Orlando's tapping out? Like, Orlando can't do this now? Oh, my gosh. Well, that kind of stinks.
I never thought of Mark as a skim milk guy.
No. But the point was, like, Orlando actually had a very different point here, Mark, with the whole field day thing. And, again, right. I didn't want to harp on the field day. What I wanted to talk about was culture, because one of Orlando's points was, now I have to speak for Orlando, but one of his points was they didn't deserve it. Based on what they had done last year.
Sure, but this is this year, right?
I mean, this year, yes.
It's a different deal. Yeah, it's funny when you talk to coaches around the league, you talk to people around the league. One of the big things, especially after last year being in COVID, is there was a lack of connectivity, a lack of relationship, a lack of those things that really help you as a football team. Like Tyler, I heard Tyler talking about being 6-0 and being miserable.
Right.
Like, this game is so hard. It's such an arduous task, both physically and mentally. Is you gotta have some fun. You gotta have some connection with your teammates, and you've gotta have a culture. And the culture's got to be worked on every day.
What's the danger of a field day like this? I mean, I think you and I are more or less in agreement. Orlando was going to be the one that was in disagreement, but okay, let's play devil's advocate here for a second. What could go wrong by Vic Fangio having the field day yesterday?
Nothing. What, you keep criticizing your lack of work, your lack of success, what? 12 reps from each quarterback is going to get you over the top this year?
Yeah, and a walkthrough, by the way, which is what it was. I mean,
it's ridiculous. So,
all right, then hold on.
Okay.
If that doesn't matter, what does matter? What in this mini camp, what did matter? Like, what I get it. That doesn't matter. The walkthrough doesn't matter. All right, cool. What did matter of what we watched over the 2 days that they were doing stuff?
I think there's a lot of things that matter. I mean, practicing matters. Getting reps does matter. It is important. Just understanding offense in general for the two quarterbacks, understanding the timing, understanding, you know, the whole, I mean, you take the whole thing in totality. You got to know how to do that stuff, right? That part is important. Calling plays is important. Being comfortable, seeing different looks, learning from mistakes. All that stuff is important, but I don't think it's any more important than being able to be accountable to your teammates, being able to be connected with your teammates, being able to sacrifice for your teammates, just having that accountability factor where we're all in this thing together. And I am so sold out for you guys that you guys are more important than me, and I will do whatever it takes for us to be a good football team. Like, those are the things that matter to me, and those are things that have to be worked on. That's part of culture.
Mark, I always looked at my head coaches like, the most important thing was not that I liked you. I don't need to be buddies with you. I don't need to go get dinner with you. But I need to trust you, and I need to respect you. I need to know that I trust that you're going to put me in the right situation, and I need to respect who you are and how you got here. And so part of that is a yin and a yang balance, right? You're going to push the guys, and then you're going to back off when you have to back off. When you look at Vic Fangio, do you think that he walks an appropriate line, or do you think that he is too aggressive or too soft with the guys?
No, I think he's trying to figure it out. I think that's part of the psychology of coaching. And I think that's a hard thing, you know, to understand what buttons to push. What guys, you know, there's some guys that can really handle getting ripped on, right? And some guys can't. And every guy is a little bit different. And so I remember being hurt one year and standing on the sideline, you know, watching the offense hurt one year. I was hurt every year. But being hurt and missing a game. And one of the players on the offense got a holding call. And Shanahan was like, hey, it's okay, shake it off. Terrible call, don't even worry about it, right?
Oh, and he never said that to me. No, yeah, he just
I'm just sitting there. I'm just sitting there kind of watching it going, wow, that was kind of soft. And he turned to me and goes, if that was you, I'd rip your ass.
Yeah.
He goes, but there's some guys that can handle a good ass ripping, and some guys need to be kind of mama catted.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
Right? And he goes, and you got to know which guy is which.
All right, so you guys tell me. What is the culture of this team right now? Who are they? What defines the Denver Broncos right now?
Well, I mean, right now, I think they're trying to figure out what their culture is. And, I don't think there's been enough consistency, enough continuity and understanding of what you are, what you're trying to build. I mean, think about it. Every year, you know, it's, hey, this year it's going to be 3 and 4 tight end sets, and we're going to have a fullback, and it's Rich Scangarello's offense, and, you know, we're going to get into the motions and shifts and the, you know, multiple personnel groupings, and we're going to go from 12 to 13 to 21 to 23 or 22 or, you know, that's what they were. And that was 1 year, and then they said, nah, let's scrap pile that, and let's get into 3 wides, and, you know, let's push them all down the field. And let's go draft a bunch of wide receivers in the first round, the second round, and let's get fast. And like when you don't have an identity as a football team, like you don't know from a coaching standpoint, from a front office standpoint, what you want to be. How do your players know what to be?
Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, I would more or less agree with what he just said. I mean, who are they? I don't know. That's hard to really put your finger on without being inside of that building.
All right, hold on. Let me back up then. Who were you guys in 2015, Tyler? What was your identity?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Obviously, the identity of that team was defense. I mean, we knew who we were. It wasn't a secret that we were riding the coattails of our defensive success. But you also had an all-time great on the offensive side of the ball that despite – we were a team full of great leaders. That's who we were. You know, we had – guys on the tail end that weren't necessarily who they were previously. DeMarcus Ware, he wasn't playing like he was previously. He still played at a high level. Peyton Manning, definitely not playing like he was previously. But you just had all the respect in the world that they knew how to show up when they needed to show up.
Mark, you won three Super Bowls. What was the identity of those teams? Were they similar? Did they have their own unique identities, your Redskins and Broncos teams?
Yeah, they were very similar in that different schemes, but very similar in that we're going to win a physical battle. We're going to win the line of scrimmage. We know what we are. We're going to run the ball. Second down and one is not a down to take a shot. Second down and one is a down to convert, move the chains, physically wear you out, beat you up a little bit. You know, it was always the theory of you dominate the line of scrimmage, you play more physical than the other team, and the bottom line, you're going to win a lot of football games. And so that was what we preached. That's what we believed. And it's the way that we went about, you know, playing.
Well, what bonded you guys together then on those championship teams? What? And I get it. It's not just field day. I get it. But there had to be something. There had to be something that made you guys fight for each other.
I'm telling you, it's trust. Just like I was talking about the head coach, it's trust with the guard that's sitting right next to me. If I don't get the exact right call out in time, if I don't have time to get it out, I know that he doesn't need me to get it out. I know that we've been through the trenches. We've been through the battles, and I just trust that he's going to be where I need him to be. If I'm going to stretch this guy, if I got a wide zone call and I got to reach the outside shoulder, I can trust that if I go for that outside shoulder, I know that he's going to reach and he's going to cover me on the inside if he pinches to the inside.
And how do you build that trust?
You got to go through the battles and you got to come out with the scars on the other side. For more or less.
Mark?
Yeah, I think obviously that's an important part of it. The other part of it is the trust between players and coaches.
Mm.
That you're gonna coach us, you're gonna put a plan together, and we're gonna be able to execute this plan. And what you say is gonna happen is actually gonna happen. I was talking to a player that plays for Kyle Shanahan, and this player says, "Hey, listen, one of the great things about this is Kyle will sit us down in a meeting and say." And this is exactly like what Mike did. He'll say, "Hey, we're going to run this play. We're going to run this play six times. It ain't going to net more than 2 yards per carry. It's a
piece
of garbage
play." But it will in the third
quarter.
Yep.
Right? But then he'll say, "But I got four explosive plays in the passing game that are directly tied, adjunct to this play. And if you guys will sell out, you guys just sell out on this play, I'm going to get you wide receiver a 20 to 30 yard gain, you tight end. I'm going to get you a 20 to 30 yard gain. Hey, you know, fullback, I'm going to get you a 20 to 30 yard explosive, and you backside receiver, you're going to get one. But you got to sell out. You got to show, you know, you got to come down, stock block a safety. You got to do these things in the running game, because if you do it, we're going to have four explosives and it's going to lead to two touchdowns and it's going to lead to 165 yards of passing." And then he'll execute it, and it plays out exactly the way he said it was going to play out.
Mm.
And when you have that kind of trust and that kind of believability, it's just like the Super Bowl 32 when Mike Shanahan sat down and said, "Hey, we're going to get into a strong right formation, strong right slot. So we're going to bring our Z receiver, Eddie McCaffrey, is going to play slot on the weak side, and here's how they're going to adjust. Their backside linebacker, their Will. Brian Williams is going to kick out, he's going to walk, and he's essentially taking away the slant, and he's actually playing safety, and Leroy Butler is going to come screaming down, and if you watch the film," and then he put the film on, and he'd show you, "Hey, he made every tackle in the backfield, minus one, minus two, minus one." You go, "Ignore the Will backer. When we're scooping on the backside, when we're blocking the backside, hey, Stink, you get up, and the safety, Butler." And exactly the way he said, it's exactly what they did. Man, I'd hit Butler in the teeth, and guess what? 15 yards later, you know, TD's got a great game. And you look at it, and you're like, we're going to gut these guys. It's exactly what he said was going to happen. And that's the kind of trust and believability you have to have.
And so real quick, Scott, take a break. But obviously, then, if that is all true, and I absolutely believe you, then if the players see the head coach not know when to use timeouts the right way or blow a game in another way that they've worked for all week, I'm going to assume that has the opposite impact too.
Absolutely.
Right.
There ain't no question.
More so than did we have field day or not. That's what's going to matter. Am I right?
Yeah. 100%.
Tell me why I'm wrong. All right, Mark.
I can't. I cannot tell you, D-Mac, I cannot tell you you're wrong. You are correct. And may the Lord have mercy on your soul.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. Mount Palumbus Peak is next.